I am Dr. Kay Fontana, Life Force Coach and Grief Recovery Specialist, and I am deeply familiar with the pain of loss, having experienced many throughout my life. At just 9 years old, I lost my brother to cancer and witnessed my parents' immense grief, which was unbearable. Years later, my mother lost her battle with Alzheimer's, and then my father was diagnosed with cancer and passed away a week after his diagnosis. Most recently, in January 2023, I experienced the devastating loss of my husband and soulmate of 40 years due to multiple health issues. In between were countless other losses, including family members, friends, coworkers, beloved pets, and even finances. However, I turned my pain into my purpose and passion to share strategies to help you get through your darkest days and navigate the complexities of grief. This is the Healing Our Grieving Hearts podcast. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode as I shed some light on the 5 stages of grief defined by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in her book On Death and Dying, which was published in 1969, and also what it can mean for those grieving a loss. Now, grief is a deeply personal and complex experience, one that defies simple categorization or a linear progression. Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief, which are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, have become widely known, shaping many people's understanding of the grieving process. However, the reality is far more intricate and individualized than a straightforward sequence of feelings and emotions. Grief doesn't adhere to a specific time frame or series of stages. One of the most common misconceptions is the belief that grief unfolds in a linear path through the 5 stages, with individuals moving neatly from one stage to the next. The duration and intensity of grief vary widely from person to person. There is really no right or wrong way to grieve, and attempting to adhere to a predetermined timeline can create additional pressure or guilt for those grieving. In reality, grief is a deeply personal and non-linear experience. People may cycle through one or more stages multiple times, experience them out of order, or find that certain stages don't exist at all, which is more likely the case. It's important to understand that Kubler-Ross's research on grief focused on the experiences of terminally ill patients as they face their own mortality. Although those who have experienced one or more significant losses may go through a few of the stages in their own grieving process, it is essential to understand how grief manifests in unique and often unexpected ways. Kubler-Ross herself, along with co-author David Kessler in their book On Grief and Grieving, explained that the 5 stages of grief have been misunderstood for decades. They added that there are tools to refer to, but not a linear timeline as many have perceived them to be. So let's look at denial, which is the first stage. Denial, often recognized as the initial stage of grief in the Kubler-Ross model, plays a crucial role in the dying process. It serves as a coping mechanism to soften the impact of approaching death, allowing individuals to gradually come to terms with their prognosis at a pace that feels manageable. Denial can manifest in various ways, from downplaying the severity of the illness to avoiding discussions altogether about the end-of-life preparations. For the individual facing their mortality, denial may offer a sense of control and normalcy, and in the face of overwhelming uncertainty. It can be a defense mechanism against the fear, the pain, and existential questions that accompany the awareness of one's impending death. By denying the reality of their situation, individuals may find a temporary sense of relief or detachment from the emotional weight of their circumstances. Denial is quite different for the grieving. Frequently, individuals express sentiments like, it's hard to grasp that he won't be here anymore, or that they felt like it was all a bad dream. Many state that they often expect their loved ones to walk through the door. Now, this doesn't necessarily indicate denial, but more of a disbelief that they are not around anymore. Each person's path through grief is distinct, shaped by their unique connection to the loved one who died. Kubler-Ross and Kessler suggest that denial is a coping mechanism, allowing us to process the loss gradually to ensure our emotional survival. It's not about outright rejecting the reality of the loss and claiming it's untrue. Denial, rather, can be understood as a form of doubt arising from a profoundly jolting event that defies belief, even though we recognize its truth. Now, after my husband died in January of 2023, there were times when I couldn't believe it was true. I'm sure many of you have experienced that as well. I would be somewhere and something interesting or funny would happen and I would think, oh, I can't wait to get home and tell him about it. Then, of course, in a few seconds, I would realize that that was not a possibility. It was a brief moment of being in the state of disbelief that he was actually gone. Now, anger is another misconception that has been taken out of context. Anger, often considered the second stage of the grieving process, according to the Kubler-Ross model, can manifest in various ways for those nearing the end of life. Whether directed toward oneself, loved ones, healthcare providers, or even a higher power, anger serves as a coping mechanism to manage the unfairness of impending death. For the individual approaching death, anger may arise from feelings of powerlessness, frustration at unfinished goals and dreams, or resentment towards a body that is failing. It can be a response to the physical and emotional pain that comes with terminal illness, as well as a reflection of the fear and uncertainty that accompanies the dying process. Now, anger does not always manifest as a singular emotion for those who are grieving. While some may not feel anger, others might direct anger toward those they feel responsible for their loved one's death, like healthcare providers, family members, a higher power such as God, or even themselves, due to the feelings of guilt and regret. Additionally, individuals may feel resentment towards their loved ones for neglecting self-care, leading to a sense of frustration and a bit of anger. Before and after my husband's death, I experienced frustration stemming from his lack of self-care. I believed that if he had prioritized his well-being, the outcome could have been different. I harbored no anger except perhaps towards myself for not being more successful in encouraging him to make healthier choices. However, with time, I understood that I had made every effort to support him in improving his lifestyle for his well-being and quality of life. I eventually realized that his journey was his own, and I ultimately had no power to dictate or change his path. Although it didn't relieve my sadness I experienced from losing him, it did relieve me of some of the guilt that I had been hanging on to, as it was all out of my control. Bargaining, often identified as the third stage in the Kubler-Ross model of grief, emerges as a coping mechanism in response to impending loss. It is a process in which individuals may attempt to make deals, promises, or compromises in a desperate effort to avoid or postpone the inevitable reality of death. Bargaining can take various forms, from seeking spiritual reconciliation to making promises to oneself, others, or a higher power in exchange for more time or a different outcome. The stage of bargaining is marked by a profound sense of vulnerability and a longing for control in the face of the unknown. Individuals may contend with feelings of powerlessness, guilt, regret, and a deep yearning for a different outcome, fueling their attempts to negotiate with fate, circumstances, or their own beliefs and values. Bargaining often reflects a delicate dance between hope and acceptance as individuals seek solace and meaning amidst the uncertainty of life. During the grieving process, bargaining can manifest as feelings of guilt, shame, or regret. It's improbable that individuals would seek to bargain for the return of their loved one. Instead, they might have feelings of guilt or remorse, believing they bear some responsibility for the loss. Some may long to rewrite history, wishing they could alter the past, but this inclination is more closely connected to regret rather than bargaining. Following my husband's death, I found myself expressing a sentiment of wishing to turn back the clock, fully aware that it was an impossibility. In those moments, I had a deep sense of gratitude and appreciation for the moments that we shared, and I wanted to relive them again. This longing was intertwined with a desire to revisit the past and potentially alter the course of events, guiding him towards making healthier and wiser choices. It was a desire to relive moments, but definitely not a bargaining tactic. Depression as a stage of dying is a profound emotional experience that individuals may encounter as they navigate the complexities of the end-of-life journey. This stage, often recognized as the fourth in Kubler-Ross model of grief, involves a deep sense of sadness, despair, and emotional pain in response to their impending death. For individuals facing their own mortality, depression may arise from a sense of loss, unfulfilled dreams, or fears about what lies ahead. It can also stem from physical symptoms such as pain, fatigue, or changes in health status that exacerbate emotional distress. Depression can significantly impact one's quality of life, making it challenging to cope with the myriad of emotions and changes associated with dying. Experiencing depression as a response to loss is a common and profound emotional journey that many individuals navigate during times of grief and bereavement. When faced with the death of a loved one or a significant loss of any kind, feelings of deep sadness, hopelessness, and emotional pain can take hold, leading to a state of depression that changes one's thoughts, behaviors, and overall sense of well-being. In the aftermath of loss, individuals may find themselves overwhelmed by a sense of profound emptiness, sorrow, and pervasive feelings of sadness that seems insurmountable. The weight of grief can lead to a deep and persistent sense of depression, impacting various aspects of daily life and functioning. However, this type of depression is a normal part of the grieving process and not a mental illness, as some may perceive. I want to repeat that. This type of depression is normal in the grieving process, but it is not a mental illness. I recall the period after my husband's death last year when my depression felt overwhelming. I believe that recovery was beyond reach, and my sole desire was to be reunited with him. The depth of pain I experienced during that time was immense, despite my gratitude that he was no longer suffering from illness. You see, his final 2 years were marked by ongoing challenges, so there was a sense of relief knowing that he was free from pain. Now, tomorrow, April 14th, will mark a year and 3 months since his passing. While I often dance between the ache of missing him that persists daily and occasional bouts of extreme sadness, I have emerged from the grip of depression and I'm now making strides toward a more positive future while also supporting others on their journey. Acceptance as a stage of dying is a critical phase in the process of coming to terms with one's mortality. This stage, often recognized as the fifth stage in Kubler-Ross model of grief, involves reaching a place of peace, reconciliation, and understanding regarding the reality of death. During the stage of acceptance, individuals may experience a shift in their perspective, attitudes, and emotions as they gradually acknowledge and integrate the inevitability of their own death. This stage is characterized by a sense of calm, serenity, and a willingness to face the end of life with grace and calmness. Acceptance is a pivotal moment in the grieving process that individuals may encounter as they come to terms with a significant loss or life-altering change. It involves reaching a place of peace, understanding, and integration of the loss into one's life. During acceptance, individuals may experience a shift in their emotional response from intense pain and turmoil to a more balanced and calmer state of mind. This stage is characterized by a sense of acknowledgement and willingness to embrace the new reality shaped by loss. It is often referred to as the new normal, even though the pain of the loss will still exist over time. Now, I want to emphasize that accepting the loss doesn't mean that the individual has been forgotten or no longer an integral part of their life. It means that they are ready to move forward and accepting a new way of being, however that may look. Reaching acceptance became clear to me when I discovered that my purpose, calling, and dedication was in support of others through the grieving journey. For close to 10 years, I had been immersed in grief work, and my new normal centered around finding ways to aid others in their grieving process. While I will never stop missing or loving my husband, Dave, I live in gratitude that I am able to help others maneuver through the rough terrain of grief and loss. I hope my insights have shed some light on some of the enigmas surrounding Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief. It's crucial to emphasize that these stages stemmed from Kubler-Ross's observations of terminally ill patients facing their own mortality. Individuals who are facing loss may not grieve in a linear fashion, nor will they invariably progress through distinct stages. Their journey through grief can be fluid and may encompass different elements which manifest uniquely for everyone. For more information about my work or to drop me a line, go to my website at www.healingourgrievinghearts.com, where you can schedule a complimentary grief breakthrough session. You can also follow me on Facebook at Healing Our Grieving Hearts. I would love to hear from you. Thank you for listening to this episode of Healing Our Grieving Hearts podcast. Remember, you are not alone in your grief, and your experience and emotions are valid. Join me next Saturday at 10 a.m. Arizona time as we continue to explore the human experience and the many types of loss. Until then, be kind to yourself.